Welcome to Season 2 of South London Voices, a Tiger Spirit podcast celebrating people in South London and beyond. I'm Yang Mei Ui. I'm a multimedia author and South Londoner. Today, our South Londoner is photographer Alison Romanchuk, talking about photographing courage. We recorded this at Alison's home, and there's a moment when we are interrupted by her cat. I've tried to edit out the interruption, so hopefully it's not too noticeable. I started off our conversation asking Alison Romanchuk about her connection to South London.
I was born in Streatham by Tooting Bec Common, so I'm not that far away from home. I've travelled and I've come back to South London because I love it.
What is it that you love about it?
I suppose primarily the people. You know, I have a certain familiarity. I grew up by Tooting Bec Common, so I have real kind of fond memories of Tooting Bec Lido and fairgrounds, and yeah, it gives me quite a fuzzy feeling, really.
And did you ever go swimming in the Lido?
Yeah, but unfortunately I can't swim very well. So I don't know what happened there. But, you know, when I was growing up, Tooting Bec Lido had crisp packets floating on the top. Oh. So it's improved a little bit. So, yeah.
And now you're in the Forest Hill area. How does that compare?
I've spent quite a long time in East Dulwich, which is so buzzy, and I've moved up the hill near to the Horniman and the woods. And it's great because I get the best of both worlds, really. I get to come home to the greenery and the woods and the trees, and then I get to be a little busy in East Dulwich.
There's a wonderful view from Horniman Museum Gardens, isn't there?
Yes, it's amazing. I've tried to photograph it. I also have a friend who lives up on the top road in Forest Hill with amazing views. But it's like one of those photographs, you know, I'll probably never get it quite how I want to.
Why is that?
Well, you know, having the sun right and saying, I'm coming now.
Well, yes, that's the thing, isn't it? It's all about the light.
Yes.
And we'll get into that. But I guess, because this is a South London focus, I'd like to just stay with the kind of South London theme. I love that walk up past Horniman Museum. There's that incredibly steep bit.
Yes.
And then you come to this amazing view, and you can see Canary Wharf and all that. So do you go up there often with your camera?
I do. And actually, you know, interestingly, I went out for New Year's Eve and walked home from up the hill round the back of Overhill Road. And I just turned around at one stage, and the whole sky was full of lights and you know, the Shard and the Wheel, and it's quite amazing.
Yes, and then there's that lovely wood. Was it One Tree Hill?
One Tree Hill, yes. Yeah, I'm quite a good walker, and you know, because of various illnesses, I've been dragged around hills and I try to get to the Horniman Gardens whenever I can. Go say hi to the goats at the top.
Fantastic. Now, you have a moving story about how you became a professional photographer. Can you tell us about that?
Okay. I mean, firstly, I think I would say I've always been a photographer. You know, it's always been my passion. I was looking through my archives earlier on, and my parents took me to America when I was about 16. Because I have cousins there, and we did a road trip, and I still have the photograph of the Golden Gate Bridge, which I probably took on a little Kodak.
Oh, you know, wonderful.
And so I've been doing it as long as I remember, really. Eight years ago, I was diagnosed with a sarcoma cancer, and it kind of blew my world apart, really. But because I've always used a camera, and I've got some amazing friends around me who dragged me out to the cafes and woods and hills, you know, my camera was kind of therapy, I suppose, in that situation.
And so how did you cope with sort of being ill, and how did photography kind of get you out of it?
Well, like I say, I've got amazing friends who it was quite a big cancer diagnosis, 6 kilograms actually.
Oh, goodness.
With things like a kidney removed and bits of, you know, spleen and on and on. So, you know, it was tough. My son was 12. It had an impact on my marriage. Everything just was crazy. So, but at the same time, I had people that were dragging me out and saying, come on, let's go for coffee, let's go for a walk. And of course, I'd bring my camera with me. So, you know, I suppose my camera's always been a kind of link for me, you know, to the outside world, really, you know. So in times of real trauma, it's probably where I go back. And I did think that I'd perhaps, you know, that I should document the cancer, but I was too ill at the time. So I documented everything else around me.
So you were an Ofsted inspector before you became a professional photographer. So while you were having your cancer treatment, you had not yet turned professional.
Right, that's right. I found myself with one friend in particular, Amanda, who dragged me down to Dulwich Village, sat me down and made me drink coffee with her. She's quite a whirlwind, Amanda. And I wasn't very well, so I was just sitting and I had my camera with me. And I started taking pictures of people's dogs and legs in a kind of Elliot Erwitt kind of fashion. And Amanda kind of encouraged me to keep doing this, and so I ended up being a dog and leg photographer for quite a while. and then I had an exhibition in the local cafe in Jade in East Dulwich, and I had to get permission from one of the subjects to put her portrait in the cafe, and so I had coffee with her, and I suppose serendipity, it turned out to be Jane Lyons, who was CEO of Cancer 57, I think it's called. And I had a chat with her, and she told me that she knew Lindsay Bennister, who was the CEO from Sarcoma UK, which was a charity that I hadn't really got involved with. I suppose I didn't really want to be in the club kind of thing, the cancer club, you know. So she put me in touch with Lindsay, and Lindsay had a great idea that I should photograph survivors of sarcoma to fundraise and to raise awareness, because it's quite a rare cancer, and of course early diagnosis is the best way forward, really. So that culminated in an online exhibition of sarcoma patients and their scars, and yeah, it was really wow. Positive experience. Yeah.
So I just want to rewind, because I'm just curious, always curious about the creative process. And I spent many years as a lawyer while writing my books and doing my creative projects. So I'm curious as to how you made the leap from being an inspector in the education world to becoming a photographer. Now, you said you've always been a photographer, and in a way, your illness, your sarcoma, made you stop in your career.
Yes.
And perhaps reassess.
Yes, I don't think it's an easy transition, I have to say. You know, and I'm sort of fly by the seat of my pants quite a lot with it. But I think, you know, I think it's important to do things that you're passionate about, really. For me, it was, I was given an opportunity through adversity to have more time to do that. Before, I was just, you know, working and making money and writing reports, and, you know, it just took over most of my life, really. So, yeah, I mean, you know, in terms of advice, I think you should try and do a little of something that makes you sparkle every day, and then, you know, you never know.
Yes, really. And so for you, that opportunity, having coffee with your friend Amanda, with your camera that you take everywhere with you, and you were using it while you were ill as a way of connecting with the outside world,
yes,
forgetting about your own pain, but looking outside. And just by, was it really a whim that you said, oh, a dog and some legs, let's just snap a picture?
Well, I think one of my favourite pictures is the Elliot Erwitt photograph with the little Chihuahua and the Great Dane and the legs. So I was kind of, you know, I was doing an homage, really. But you know, I was sitting. I was so ill, I couldn't really be walking and running around. So I was at their level, you know. I was down with the dogs and the legs, really.
That's interesting, isn't it? Because so from a creative point of view, through this adversity, you couldn't stand up, you couldn't run around, you were sitting. It gave you a perspective that you might not have had otherwise. And with your creative hat on, or the new eye way of looking, you took these pictures. And so from that moment of taking that first dog in the legs, then what prompted you to carry on? Because most people were going, oh yeah, that's interesting, I'll put it on Instagram and forget about it. But you carried on and created a project. How did that come about?
Well, I have to say Amanda Greatorex was very influential there, because she was like, yes, do that, do more of it, you know, and kind of pushed me from sideways to get it done, really. And I just said, yeah, okay.
Slightly reluctantly, but... Yeah. So then how did you then develop the project? Because, you know, in one sentence, I took a picture of a dog with some legs, and then suddenly I got an exhibition. So it's that process. How did you get there? That's quite interesting.
Okay. I think, you know, South London has the most interesting people. And, you know, I know a few of them around, you know, particularly in East Dulwich. So I knew somebody that worked for Camper that has an obsession with shoes, so and has a dog. So I asked her, and she was like, yes, you know, definitely. There were two guys called the Two Lovely Gays, who I photographed in Dulwich Village with their their little dog, and they loved it, you know. So I suppose I picked people who I thought would be interesting. Having said that, you know, I was later on sometime doing a photograph at somebody's wedding, a friend's wedding, and I spotted a dog, a funny looking dog with this old lady. So, you know, so I was doing it ongoing as well.
Yeah, so I think that's quite fun, isn't it? Because you then have something in your mind wherever you are, that creative spark is always with you, because you're thinking, oh, dogs and legs.
Yes.
And then, of course, there's a psychological term for it, where positive reinforcement. So because you've got it in your head.
Pavlovian.
Yes, you sort of see it everywhere.
Yeah.
So fantastic. So how did you get your first exhibition?
Well, I mean, one of the cafes I was spending a lot of time in was Jade in East Dulwich, and I got to know the owner quite well. And, you know, again, sort of with Amanda, we talked to him, and he agreed to put on an exhibition. I was just thinking, that was extended, and then I did some portraits of local people, and that was the next exhibition. So I suppose one thing led to another, and as it has actually over the last 8 years, things have just, you know, I think if you put yourself out there and you start doing things, you meet other people, you meet interesting people, and then other things happen, and then other people see what you're doing, and, you know, it's very kind of organic, really.
And in fact, this is how you and I met, because you asked me to pose for one of your local people shoots.
Yes,
So that was great fun for me. Okay, so let's turn to the sarcoma charity, because that's quite different from a light-hearted project of taking pictures of dogs and legs. Can you, for the listeners who don't know, can you explain what sarcoma is?
Sarcoma, it's a rare cancer. In my case, it was a liposarcoma, which is cancer of the fat cells. You can get it anywhere in your body. You know, it can start with a lump, you know, with what they say is a golf ball size lump should be taken seriously. They don't know where it comes from, you know, there's no cure. It's just an ongoing issue, really. And I have to say, it you know, completely different from the dogs and legs photography. You know, some people have died. Some people that I photograph have died, and that's the reality of of sarcoma. But for me and the other patients, you know, I was a patient, not just a photographer. I think it was a positive experience because it's about, you know, grabbing hold of what's in front of you, really, and dealing with it and recognizing it and trying to stay strong and positive. So through my photography, hopefully I help that.
And so let's focus, delve a bit deeper into the photographs that you did, this particular project that you did for the sarcoma charity. Could you just tell us kind of what, because it's audio, of course, we can't show photos on this, but I will be, if, with your permission, put some of your photos on the show notes page so people can get an example of that. And the details of the show notes page will be coming up at the end of the podcast. But just to describe some of the photos, why it felt important to do it, and what it was like working with your subjects.
Okay. I suppose Holly is one of the main subjects of that exhibition, who sadly since died. She was in her early 20s, amazing artist. You know, she was creating this phenomenal art, kind of self-taught, really. And so, you know, I was able to go and visit her with my colleague Alice Snape, who did the project with me. We went to visit Holly and we took photographs of her, you know, painting and sketching. And she loved it. You know, she really wanted to be photographed. I mean, she was part of the selfie generation too. You know, we got pictures of her with her mother and it was generally a positive experience for her. And then, you know, her mother has also got all these photographs now that she can keep as a memory. And I feel honoured that I was able to do that for them, really.
That's actually, it's very moving, particularly as I think of some of my friends who've passed away and having, and family of course as well, and having photos and for me, podcasting audio recordings, it's actually very precious to have captured that. Mm. In terms of, you mentioned just now photographing scars, could you talk a bit more about that?
Okay, I take quite a lot of photographs of for a charity called Children of Fire, which has another little story attached to it. So the sarcoma cancer that I had, it returned 4 years ago, which again, you know, was pretty devastating. But I have amazing surgeons at the Royal, an amazing surgeon at the Royal Marsden, who decided to operate again. And 2 weeks before the operation, I was sitting on the South Bank beach with a friend, you know, having some chips and tea. And I had my camera with me, of course. And a lady behind said, "Oh, I see you have a professional camera. Can you take a photograph of us?" So I say, "Oh, okay." and they turned around and I was met with, I think, 4 or 5 extremely burnt children, South African children. So I was thrown, you know, it felt like, gosh, you know, here was I in a state of trauma about my up and coming operation. And here are these children that have survived this devastating, you know, this devastating traumas. So I took some photos of them. It was dusk. I didn't have a flash, you know, I panicked and made a hash of it. Came back home and phoned Bronwyn, who's the CEO of Children of Fire. And I said, "Look, you know, I made a bit of a mess. Can I try again? You know, I'd love to photograph the children. You know, but I'm going in for an operation in 2 weeks." And I told her the whole story. And Bronwyn, being the person she is, said, "Come tomorrow." So I quickly put all my kit in my bag. And I drove to Pinner and I met the children, who were amazing children, who were so excited that I was going to take their photograph, you know, despite all of the disfigurement and, you know, the trauma they've been through. And so that was a real, another crazy meeting with amazing people that has carried on in my life, really. So much so that I've just been in the finalists for Lens Culture, and one of the pictures is of one of the children I met initially is going to New York. So
oh, wow.
Verlaine is going to have his portrait up on... Sorry, that's the cat scratching in the back door. Verlaine is going to have his portrait up on a gallery in New York.
So I'd like to stay with talking about scars, if I may, because I think in our culture, we tend to want to hide scars. We don't want to see it. We don't want to see disfigured people. It's all too awful and embarrassing, mm-hmm. and we want to hide them. But here you are taking photos, and it's wonderful to hear that these children, it must be so affirming for them to have their photos taken and yeah. displayed. Could you just talk more about that?
Well, they're absolutely full of joy, these children. I mean, you know, we had an affinity with each other because we both had scars. You know, when I went to visit them that day, one of the first things I did was pull my jumper up and say, looky here, you know, here's my scar. And so immediately we had that kind of bond that we'd both been through operations. Them, I have to say, they go through lots and lots of operations. Yes, and you know, they almost kind of tussle with each other to be in the photograph, and they're so happy to be alive, I guess, you know. They all have their stories. When I was first diagnosed, my son was 12, you know, and I've been able to take Tig to South Africa. Tig's a budding filmographer, so we went to South Africa together. He filmed the children, he interviewed them, you know, so it was a real positive experience to come out of such adversity, you know. It's quite unbelievable, really, isn't it, the story?
Yes, I mean, it's very, very life-affirming. And so wonderful to hear that, you know, for you and your son to have a shared passion for, I mean, photography and filmmaking. You know, it's images, it's telling stories through images, and that you were able to go and do a project together.
Yes. Yes, I mean, you know, kind of chip off the old block, really. He's actually, you know, getting so much better than I am now. He's, you know, he kind of... Like all teenagers, he kind of tuts at me when I don't really use the right lens. Or he's actually assisted me as well on photo shoots, which has been great. I was very worried about it, but it's been really, really good.
Fantastic. So now, what's the current project that you're working on, or a recent project in the last 6 months you've been working on?
Okay, well, I mean, you know, as a result of the photographs that I'd been taking, I was contacted by Ogilvy in London, who are doing a campaign for systemic sclerosis, or scleroderma, which is another rare disease. And because they'd seen my photographs and read my story, you know, they kind of thought I'd be empathetic with patients, and I hope I am. And it's for a pharmaceutical company called Boehringer Ingelheim, and it's actually continuing, which has been great, and has taken me right across Europe, you know, to 8 different countries. There's a video of me going across, you know, Europe with my camera. And again, you know, I have an affinity with the patients. It works. We you know, I've got some wonderful portraits. I hope that they think they're wonderful portraits of people just doing what they love to do. You know, not focusing so much on their illness, but focusing on their families and their passions and where they live and what they do to, you know, to keep themselves buoyant.
So your photography has actually connected you to people in a very profound and compassionate way that... I guess, you know, eight or nine years ago that you got your diagnosis. Would you have thought then that you would be here now?
Gosh, no. And, you know, it just shows you, doesn't it, really? It depends what life choices you, well, I mean, I didn't make a life choice to have cancer, but, you know, the life choices that you find yourself following lead to other things, and yes, you know, it's all... I can't explain it, really, to be honest. It's just kind of happened like that, and it's flowing now. And I've always wanted to take photographs of interesting people, and maybe the other, you know, I don't know. I recently did a photo shoot for moonpig.com, which was, with the
LGBTQ plus.
Yes. Which was about raising awareness around that. And so that's been amazing. You know, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, I was taking photographs of transgender people because that's what interested me at the time, you know. So it's been a flow, you know, it's a flow for me.
And when you take a photo of a person, no matter what their background or whatever their situation, what is it that you're looking for, and how do you try and bring that out, you know, bring out the quality or whatever? Do you just go, you know, what's your process?
I suppose, you know, I'm interested in people. I really like people. And, you know, probably when I started out, when I was about 15, I was quite a shy teenager. And that was my way of connecting with people. You know, it's a bit of a barrier, isn't it, between you and the other person that you can kind of hide behind and have a little bit of control over, maybe. I'm always fascinated by people and their stories. I'm not such a good photographer with, you know, people will ask me to do family portraits, and I struggle a little bit to do that, and people might find my photographs a little bit edgy. So I veer away from that kind of portraiture. I'm just who I am, you know, and people feel comfortable with me. I'm pretty honest and you know, who I am. And so I guess that makes people feel comfortable, and hopefully they shine through.
Do you worry, or do you make them sit in a particular way, turn your face here, turn your face there, move here, or do you just let them, or encourage them to do something and then you just snap away?
I think you have to start by directing people and asking them to sit in various ways and, you know, well, smile or look over here or whatever. But, you know, very often the best photographs are when they're in between poses, and, you know, that's when they're more relaxed, I'd say. So it is a process, but then, you kind of snap around it too.
I guess for me, it's interesting to hear your process, because you're looking through the lens at the person as a storyteller using words. I'm observing and I'm kind of then retelling about this person through words, but you're actually capturing the moment.
I find it more difficult to caption my photographs, actually. I find the words more difficult than the image. You know, I'm definitely, here's the image, you know, there you go. You know, the Instagram kind of thing that we have nowadays, everybody's writing huge captions, and I don't find that as easy. You know, a picture should tell a story, I guess.
So, looking back, I think, you know, over the last 8 or 9 years, have there been standout moments that you'll always remember in terms of your journey from your first diagnosis to where you are today?
Yes, there's a lot of poignancy there. I mean, like I say, certain people have not made it, you know, certain people have died, and that's been really difficult. You know, and on the other side of that, there's been these kind of serendipitous moments where I've met South Africans on the South Bank, and I've met, you know, CEOs of rare cancer charities by taking a photograph of their dogs and legs. You know, things like that are quite extreme. But I guess, you know, I followed them through, whereas maybe other people wouldn't. You know, I was excited by the prospects, and I grabbed hold of them.
I think that's my sense, just listening to you tell your story just in the last half an hour, is that something happens serendipitously, and it's a chance moment, you take a picture, but it's the follow through. It's the fact that you felt on the South Bank, oh, I didn't do a good job, I'm going to follow up and phone this CEO and say, can I do it? Whereas you say, some people might miss the opportunity because they maybe feel, oh, I don't know whether I can do that, or life gets in the way and then they forget to follow up. So it seems to me that your story is a mixture of luck and actually, I'm going to go for it. Yeah. It's a kind of inner attitude.
Yeah, and part of that is, you know, it's a passion that I have that's never gone away, you know. It's always there, my photography. You know, Tig, my son, will say, you know, whose face are you shoving your lens in now? You know, I can't, it's almost obsessional for me. I couldn't let an opportunity, like whichever one, go. You know, I had to follow it through.
Fantastic. And so to close off our podcast today, do you have any top tips for anyone listening who might want to, I don't know, pursue their passion, whether it's photography or something else?
Of course, what I want to say is feel the fear and do it anyway, but that's a bit of a cliche. So, you know, like I said before, do a little bit more of what makes you sparkle and you never know.
Fantastic. So now, if people want to find out more about you, maybe go to your website or Instagram, where can they go?
Okay, so it's alisonromanchuk.com for my website, Alison Romanchuk on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all over the place, really.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Alison Romanchuk, for being on South London Voices.
Thank you.
Our South London voice today was Alison Romanchuk, and her website is www.alisonromanchuk. That's Alison, RomanChuk.com. AlisonRomanchuk.com. To find photos and links to some of the things we talked about today, go to southlondonvoices.co.uk and search for Season 2, Episode 1, Episode SLV0201, or you can go directly to the show notes using the bit.ly short link, and that is bit.ly, that's bit.ly/SLV-photographingcourage. If you've enjoyed this episode of South London Voices, please help me spread the word about this podcast. You can help by sharing this podcast with your friends or subscribe to South London Voices via anchor.fm or iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you could leave us a lovely review, that would be great too. All this will help me get this podcast to lots more people. The South London Voices podcast is produced by tigerspirit.co.uk. I'm Yang Mei Ui, and I'm on Twitter and Instagram as @tigerspirituk. You can follow South London Voices on Twitter @SouthLondonVox, @SouthLondonVox. And we're also on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/South London Voices. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.